Welcome to another edition of the Meat.
What were you about to say?
I was going to say Mizzou Sports Podcast, and I don't know what happened. It's been a while.
You're a little rusty.
I know.
This is the Mizzou Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Welcome to another edition of the Mizzou Sports Podcast. I'm Daniel Jones with Cam and Teague Robinson, back after a couple weeks of not being on the podcast. You guys...
We miss you.
It's good to be loved. It's good to know that your presence was missed while you were away, while I was away.
Yeah.
My presence was missed while I was away. You guys, you and Garrick, our new sports editor, did a good job covering the NBA draft, Michael Porter's landing spot with the Denver Nuggets. I enjoyed that podcast.
Thank
it
you.
Was good to listen to it and get some different perspectives in there.
Without sitting in the room and being a host. It's weird being a host.
Yeah, what'd you think about that? Did you like it?
A little bit, but not that much. It's just like when you're going off topic, you have to know where you're going. You just have to know where you're steering things all the time.
No, you don't.
Yeah, kind of.
Nah.
But like,
not on this podcast.
Yeah, right. No, it was. I don't know. It was weird. It was cool. I liked it though. It was nice. We'll share hosting duties.
I feel like we could flip back and forth a little bit.
Yeah, I jokingly said at the end of that podcast that Danny's hosting time is over and it's my time now. But I figured Danny can host today.
How joking was that?
That was pretty joking. I don't like hosting that much.
Okay.
I like just being like the color commentary guy. I can be like the. Trying to think of the guy. I can't. Oh my goodness, I'm blanking on his name. Pac-12 basketball guy.
The Bill Walton.
Yeah, I could be the Bill Walton of our podcast.
If only you and I had a relationship like Bill Walton has with his play-by-play commentator. It feels like every game they commentate, like the play-by-play guy, which I can't remember his name, but I can see his face, is about to kill Bill Walton.
Yeah.
Like, man, we're supposed to be here talking about
basketball. Exactly.
Are you even watching what's happening?
Exactly.
But we did pry ourselves away from the World Cup for a few minutes to, at least I did.
Yeah. I was watching this morning as well.
Yeah.
It's been like my routine. Wake up, cup of coffee, World Cup.
I was talking to George Young on the closers yesterday. We were talking about the 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. games, and I wish they were like that every day.
Yeah,
I wish every day at 9 a.m. there were live sports going on.
Perfect. Yep. Perfect
it is
time.
Kind of a distraction from work, but it does make the days go by a lot faster.
The other day when Germany got knocked out, it was they were the 9 a.m. game, I believe, the Mexico, like because they split them because it was knockout round. And I turned the game on, and I was like, I can work. And I worked through the first half, and then as things got tight in the second half, I go, I can't work.
Same.
I was like, I can't do this. I gotta watch and see what happens.
Afternoon got a lot busy that day
because
I was a lot busier because I was not very productive in the morning.
Same.
But that's kind of the way it's been for the last month. So now we're doing a podcast, and we have just oodles of Mizzou stuff to talk about
guys,
today.
No, this is our OG listeners. Do you remember our jam-packed podcast?
OG listeners.
Yep.
If you do know where that reference comes from, you should tweet at us.
Yes, please let us know. That only the original of the original podcast listeners know that. But this is not a jam-packed podcast.
We have news about a new women's assistant coach. We have news about the preseason volleyball rankings.
Yep.
We have news about Reagan Nash, former Mizzou softball player, and a poll that Jontay Porter put up on Twitter yesterday.
Very interesting poll last night. We'll kind of get into a little bit of all that if my computer tends to work.
So let's do our best to make these things interesting.
Right.
To start, Mizzou women's basketball did hire a new assistant today.
Mm-hmm.
Name is Chris Bracey, played 8 years overseas, and just was hired. He's the brother of current Mizzou assistant, I believe it's Ashlyn Bracey.
Yeah, Ashlyn Bracey.
Mizzou women's basketball had two assistants throughout the year last year, and now they have three. So they basically went through the entire season last year down one assistant, and now they've hired a third to fill out the assistant coaching pool, and two of them happen to be siblings.
Yeah. Families are running Mizzou.
Mm-hmm.
Porters and Pinch, obviously Coach Pinchon, the Braceys. trying to think of some other families. There's definitely other families.
Mizzou's been big on family.
Yeah, they have a family.
Maybe
tradition.
That's what people, yeah. You know, recruits always talk about, family atmosphere. They just see siblings walking around all the time, and they feel like they need to be a part of that.
Yeah, that there's no other university in the world where recruits say, I love the family atmosphere. This
literally,
is the only place.
Literally, siblings at Mizzou yeah, exactly. Walking around together yep. seem to love it there.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think you could coexist with your sibling in that kind of environment?
I don't know. See, I grew up an only child. Like, I have a half brother and a half sister, mm-hmm. but I never lived with them. So I don't know. I have friends who are like my brothers and my sisters, and like they annoy the heck out of me sometimes. Like if we're hanging out for too long, so I'm not sure I could coach on the same staff because like you have to disagree, and I think it probably takes a special kind of family to be able to be on the same team, be on the same coaching staff and disagree in that sense. Because you're not going to agree with what your brother or sister is saying every time.
This is a different question entirely because it has nothing to do with what Mizzou is going on. But what if you and your mom were on the same coaching staff?
We'd probably kill each other. Me and my mom are like so similar. Like we're like 99% the same person, but that 1% is a very big difference. And we'd probably kill each other.
I could just imagine like, I've never met your mom, but yeah. I've heard you tell stories. Sounds like a wonderful woman.
Yeah, I love her.
I just imagine you guys, you know, going through a game plan for the upcoming game and you get all through it. You know, you get the offensive game plan yeah. and the defensive game plan. Everything's yeah. ready to go. And then something like, you know, okay, when do we take our last time out?
Yeah.
Be in this massive
yeah.
argument.
100%. Or they'd be, because so my mom, like people who know me, like I can talk, but when I'm not, don't feel like talking, I don't want to talk. My mom isn't that way. She just likes to talk. And when I don't talk, she like thinks something's wrong with me. So we'd be in a meeting and like, she'd say something that I like sort of agree with and I just say yeah, that's good, and she'd be like, well, why aren't you saying something more, like expound upon why, and it just
speak your mind, yeah, Cameron, quiet. Speak your mind.
Whole meeting would just be an argument. We'd get nothing
everybody
done.
In the coaching staff would be kind of like looking at yep. each other like
game in 2 hours and we don't have a game plan.
I'm pretty close with my sister too. It'd be interesting to be an assistant coach with her because she kind of is like that sometimes too. We recently went on a vacation this summer, and at the end of the vacation, I was like, I think we did a lot of good things. Like we were on time to all our flights, which is a huge upset. If you know me, you know I'm late a lot of places, but we made it to all our flights, all our trains. You know, we were on time everywhere. We did a lot of things that we wanted to do, but we erred because I made the decision to take a check bag. So we had to pay at every airport on every flight. And I brought up like, man, we did a lot of things right, but that was wrong. And my sister was like, oh yeah, I know it was. And I was like, well, why didn't you say anything about that when we started the trip? and so anyway, that was the one minor disagreement we had, but yeah. I think we'd be able to make it work. The family thing is interesting at Mizzou because you have the Braces, you have the Porters, Michael Porter Sr. and Robin,
yeah.
which were siblings-in-law.
Yeah.
And then Barry Odom and Brian Odom are yeah. on the coaching staff on the football team. Yeah. So you have brothers working together there. And those guys both coach linebackers.
Right.
So they have to have a good relationship because yeah. they're in same. The same position group.
Yeah, right.
But there's a lot of family atmosphere,
right.
literal family atmosphere right, at right. Mizzou.
Yeah.
And now, again, on the women's basketball team.
Yep. So it'd be interesting to see how it works.
So the preseason poll came out for SEC volleyball.
Yep. And
Mizzou was picked to finish
third. Kentucky at first, and Florida was second. They kind of did it some type of point spread. But so Mizzou, I mean, volleyball has consistently been a very strong program in the SEC for a while now, really since they came into the SEC. They've placed outside the top four just once in 6 years in the SEC. They've been to the NCAA tournament the last 2 years. So, I mean, Craig Lowe and that whole program have done a really good job of establishing themselves as one of the top programs in that conference. In terms of the all-SEC team, Kentucky has 1, 2, 3, 4 of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I probably should have counted this before we got on here.
Make sure you get the numbers right.
Kentucky has 4 of the 9 people on the All-SEC team. Missouri has 1, Alyssa Munlin, senior
middle blocker.
Yep. So that's Mizzou has 1 person. Florida has 1, and Kentucky has, I four. Can't count. No, Kentucky has three. Florida has one.
You get three and four confused?
Yeah, I did. I counted the Florida person as a Kentucky person for some reason. I don't know. But yeah, yeah. So Alyssa Mundlin is the only SEC honoree for Mizzou. As they looked, they're probably going to, I mean, you think they have a chance to go back to NCAA tournament again, just with how well their program has gone so far.
As usual.
Yeah, yeah.
There was recently an article or maybe a tweet that I saw from Mizzou Volleyball about games at the Hearn Center. And the way that they were able to draw crowds there was pretty unique. I don't know how
Bowling
Green.
It's so much fun. Yeah. I had a few friends who played on the volleyball team. And it's a lot of fun. Volleyball is just really intense. And I don't think people give it the credit for how intense and how fast it is.
There's a great pace to it. Yeah, it's kind of like baseball combined with basketball in terms of like pacing. Yeah, because when the ball is live, it's like you're sucked into the game, and then you get like these 5 to 10 and sometimes 30-second rallies that like are just like
you can't take your eyes off.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get like a second to breathe when the play ends. Right. So I guess that's kind of like football, but I don't know. I feel like volleyball. There's something different going on with volleyball because it's all packed into one. You know,
I think
in
even
one space.
During football, when the play is going on, you can look away a little bit. In volleyball, if you look away, you've missed something. And the celebrations they have, like they celebrate every point, like it's the world, like it's the Super Bowl or the World Series. Like,
yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of every play is, is the end of, is like a big deal. There's points being moved on every play. But this is the tweet that I saw. Since 2001, Mizzou ranks 13th nationally. The volleyball program ranks 13th nationally with 5 top 10 average season attendance finishes. So, 5 times in the last, 17, 16 years, they finished top 10 in average attendance. And then also since 2001, they're one of 13 schools that have finished in the top 25 16 times. I think that's what that says. It's kind of written in an interesting way. But at any rate, Mizzou's done a really good job of getting crowds out there, and they have a volleyball program that's worth watching.
Yeah, definitely. That's impressive.
Speaking of long-term dominance, should we talk about Reagan Nash first, or should we go to, maybe we should hold off on the Jontay Porter poll until the end.
Okay.
So we'll actually postpone the long-term dominance.
That was a good transition. We'll just run through Reagan Nash really quick.
Okay. It was an attempt.
Mizzou's Reagan Nash, who's junior last year, I believe she'll be a senior this year, outfielder, is interning at St. Joe's Mustangs, which is like a collegiate Wood Bat League team in the Mink League, which stands for like Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas. They're like all collegiate Wood Bat summer teams, I guess. So she is interning there, and she signed a contract to play for the Mustangs. Her debut was supposed to be Saturday, but it got rained out, so it's been pushed to today, which is Tuesday. I lost my train of thought. Sorry. We were laughing at something. So with that, she becomes the first female to play for the Mustangs, which is a pretty cool feat for Reagan, who's going to be probably one of Missouri's best returning players next year. She led the team in hits. She also had the most at-bats last year. As a lot of people know, Missouri has three transfers, Braxton Burnside.
Three outgoing transfers.
Outgoing transfers. Braxton Burnside, Amanda Sanchez, and I can't think of the third off the top of my head.
Riley Pierce.
That's kind of a cool feat or kind of cool thing for the program and Reagan and really even the Mustangs to have Reagan be the first female player on the team. I think that's really a really cool thing for the program.
It's kind of a cool thing that's happening in sports now. Long overdue is women kind of entering the sports conversation at large. And I think, you know, Reagan getting that opportunity is probably indicative of that a little bit. Like, you had, like, the Chicago Bulls have a female assistant coach in the Summer League.
Yeah, Spurs have
Becky Harmon.
Yep,
who's been an assistant coach for a number of years now and has gotten looks at other positions.
Yeah, she's interviewed for a few head coaching jobs. I believe she interviewed for the Milwaukee job.
So, during the World Cup, you've had a woman color commentator, Allie Wagner. WNBA is on ESPN. Yeah. I think, like, just in general, there's kind of an awakening and an opening for women in positions in men's sports and what are traditional men's sports, which is kind of cool. And that's cool for Reagan Nash. Earlier this year, I did a story on Isla Borders, who spoke at the Women's Intersport Network in Columbia. She made an appearance and gave a speech, but she was a minor league, she was a pitcher in the minor leagues, independent ball for 3 or 4 years in the early 2000s, like late 90s, early 2000s. And her story was really interesting, just about all the things she went through in college and then in the minor leagues. A lot of the, at that point in time, that a lot of the teams around the league, or at least some of them, were really resistant to the idea and felt like it was a stain on the league that there was a woman that was pitching. So anyway, that story can be found on our website if you kind of search Isla Borders. But that's really cool for Reagan Nash that she's got that opportunity. And I guess I'm guessing there's an opportunity. Well, maybe. I guess we'll kind of have to see. She'll play one game,
I believe,
in St. Joe. Okay. Well, then.
But I don't. So I don't know if that will turn into a multi-game thing or what that is, what that's like. But I'm hoping to talk to Reagan sometime this week, kind of follow up on and see, get her thoughts on it. So stay tuned to Columbia Daily, ColumbiaTribune.com, and subscribe to the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Yep.
Support your local newspapers
if you haven't already.
Which you should have.
You should have. All right.
Poll time. Oh, that should be that. You've got to cut that. That's a transition. That's something that's got to stick in the podcast.
We'll cut that and then edit it with a bunch of like air horns and stuff.
Poll time. I love that. That's got to be like a regular thing. Yeah, exactly. That'd be a regular thing we do.
So, Cameron, just walk me through your thought when you saw yesterday.
Basketball's dumb.
That Boogie Cousins is going to your favorite NBA team, the Golden State Warriors.
Well, I kind of like already like been like, I'm giving up on the NBA after LeBron left. Not giving up, because I'm still going to watch the Cavs. And plus, like I told you the other day, Cavs tickets are going to be cheap again now. But so when LeBron left for the Lakers, I was like, oh man, that sucks, but whatever. And then Jonte put up a post on Twitter. It's after DeMarcus Cousins signed with the Warriors for the mid-level exception, which is $5.3 million, which blows my mind. Jonte Porter said, it's crazy that this is even a valid question, but who wins? The 2018-19 Warriors, which starting lineup will have five All-Stars of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, and DeMarcus Cousins, or the Eastern Conference All-Star team, whose best player will probably now be Kyrie or Greek Freak, Giannis?
Possibly Kawhi Leonard.
Possibly if he goes out there.
But probably Giannis.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. Like, what's the Eastern Conference All-Star team? Starting lineup. Kyrie, Giannis.
Who
DeMar DeRozan?
Somebody said Victor Oladipo. Kristaps, if he's healthy.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Who's the center? I couldn't even name you a center in the East. Gordon Hayward's Al Horford. Is he the best center in the East right now? God, the East is awful. The Cavs without LeBron will probably make the playoffs. That's how bad that East is. Oh, my goodness. And so that was the poll. Warriors versus Eastern Conference All-Star team.
So far, the results of the poll, there's been 1,642 votes, and the Warriors have 82% of the votes. That's who I voted for.
I'm looking up the best centers in the East.
Jonte's other tweets from last night were pretty funny, too.
Yeah.
When his first one was, wow, this is getting ridiculous, and the second one was, I'm appalled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think speaks for a lot of people, including yourself,
Ken. Yeah, I hated it. I could not believe that. It's
UMBC had a good tweet. UMBC really made the most of their 16-1 upset.
Their Twitter account's been solid.
They've made the most of that exposure.
And it's not like they just like had something and then left. Like they've continued on.
But they tweeted yesterday, at least in college basketball, you never know who's going to win.
Yeah.
So,
truth, there's no reason. Literally, if Boogie just plays 10 regular season games and shows for the postseason, there's no reason to watch the postseason.
I'd be really interested to know how this will, like, if there are traditional NBA fans who might shift their focus to college basketball during the regular season because
Joel Embiid.
Okay, so Joel Embiid's the best center in the East.
Probably, yeah.
But if there are NBA fans, traditional NBA fans, who shift their focus more towards college basketball during the regular season because the NBA is such a you know, foregone conclusion.
Legitimately, I did not. I only NBA games I watched last year were the Cavs games, just because I was a Cavs fan, and that's probably all it will be this year. I'll probably watch a little bit less of the Cavs games, but I mean, I cover college basketball, so I have to watch college basketball, but. Still, like, I had no interest in watching. It's pointless until the postseason.
It's pointless. It was pointless until the finals. Yeah. Until the Western Conference finals. And then the NBA finals.
Yeah, even the NBA finals were pointless.
So the only series that really mattered all season was the Western Conference finals.
Yep, and that didn't matter once Chris Paul went down. So
there's about five games that matter. Five games in the entire NBA season that really matter.
Yep. It's I don't know. It's tough. I hate it.
Wow,
it's tough. I voted in that poll, and I voted for the Warriors. That's unbelievable. They have five All-Stars. The Western Conference All-Star team is the Golden State Warriors.
It's not totally unprecedented. I saw a tweet that said the Celtics did such a thing back in the 70s. They entered a season with five All-Stars from the previous season.
Is that back when they were a dynasty?
Yeah.
Yep, that doesn't surprise me because the Warriors are annoying.
They're a dynasty.
No, they're not.
No?
Nope.
In your personal record book?
Yep. Okay. They have an asterisk next to their, like, next to all their championships. The first one, they shouldn't have won. Everybody was hurt for the Cavs. They choked historically in the second one, which is all that matters. Then they were so upset they choked, they had to go get Durant, and that's when the asterisk started to begin.
You know, I enjoyed your conspiracy theory. I think you should tell our podcast listeners about how this all started.
Oh, take it back to the beginning.
Yeah, take it all the way back to the beginning. And you can go backwards, or you can start at the beginning.
Okay.
Whatever you feel like is the best way to tell
a
story.
A little bit of context to it. I have, so for some of you podcast listeners, you may wonder why I hate the Warriors so much. I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio, so I'm a Cavs fan.
So that explains
that.
Yeah,
exactly. And I have a group chat of friends who are worse than me when it comes to the Warriors. The hatred some of them have for them is pretty bad. So, but we were talking after JR's debacle in game one. about like whose fault this is. Why are we so upset? Why is this happening to us? And the idea went all the way back to the 2015 season when the Warriors won their first championship, where if the Warriors don't win the first championship, the Cavs have two because they're winning in 2016. So the Cavs have two. The Cavs have two This is where it starts. It starts in the first round for the Cavs. If Kelly Olynyk doesn't pull out Kevin Love's shoulder, the Cavs won the 2015 championship. The Warriors don't have one championship. They don't have the confidence to go put up 73 wins and that little swagger that they have. So the Cavs have two championships. The Warriors probably don't reach out to Kevin Durant because OKC feels like they can beat the Warriors. OKC beats the Warriors. Durant stays on Oklahoma City. There's no Golden State dynasty. So what we decided as a group chat, and this is totally all anyone's allowed to talk about. This is set in stone. This is whose fault this is. It's Kelly Olynyk's fault. If he doesn't pull out Kevin Love's shoulder, the Golden State dynasty never starts. So if we want to blame somebody about this dynasty and Boogie and Kevin Durant, go call Kelly Olynyk, according to my group chat of friends. So that's what it is.
I think that's a good place to stop for the day.
Yep, that's a fact.
We've touched on all the Mizzou news. That
hashtag
there is
facts.
On. Hashtag facts. Yep. Kelly Olynyk, it's all his fault.
It is.
All right. Subscribe to our podcast. If you listen to our podcast regularly and enjoy it, please rate and review it.
Yeah.
That would be great. We would appreciate that very much. You can find us.
Only rate 5 stars.
Yeah, that's. We'd also appreciate that.
Yeah.
You can follow us on Twitter at Cameron Teague. Yours is CJ_Teague. Mine is at Daniel_M. _Jones. You got that one right the other day, which I was impressed. I was waiting for you to mess it up, but you got it right.
I got it. I didn't have it pulled up on my computer in front of me.
You didn't?
I did. I did. I don't remember.
And you
that.
Still sounded unconfident. You were reading it.
I was
like
pulling it up as I was reading it. Yeah, I was pulling it up as I was about to say it.
You can also read all our work in the newspaper, the Columbia Daily Tribune, or at columbiatribune.com.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about this outro. We haven't done it in a while. Danny, cue the outro music.
Be sure and subscribe to Mizzou Sports Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.